Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well today.
The day that the Lord has made.
It is the day that the Lord has made. And we just sang a song called It's All About You, Jesus, and it is all about Him. And the Lord's been showing me how short I fall. And it's a wonderful thing to show me that. And, you know, we need to know that not leaning unto our own understanding is what we should do, and to yield unto Him. And I know that I get stuck sometimes in this thing of how sorry I am and what a sorry sack of poopy I am. And that's pride. And that, you know, it's pride to do that. It's also pride to think that you're something. So I know that lots of times I don't make it about the Lord. It needs to be about Him and what He did for us and His love, His grace and His mercy on us every single day. He loves us despite who we are. We are nothing special, but to Him, He loves us. And to abide in His vine by faith is what we are doing, and trusting Him to bring us through. All the things that we do and our own understanding is not at all what He has for us. In Isaiah 55, one of my favorite books in the Bible, it talks about His thoughts being not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. And I'm learning that, and I praise the Lord for it. I praise the Lord that He is there for me despite the things that I do, the things that I think, the things that go on in my life that are not of Him. I praise Him for still being there with His love and His mercy and His grace. So I will turn it over to Scott now.
Amen, Karen. You're right. It is all about Him, or at least it should be. Hey, as you were singing that song, I got to thinking about how all too often it becomes about us and we don't even realize that it's not about Him. We fall into these sort of routines and these ruts and these, you know, just going through the motions of what we think is life, and we forget about Him. We convince ourselves that, oh, well, what I'm doing is what He wants, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and you're stagnant. You're not moving. You're not changing. You're not doing a darn thing. And sometimes we need to be shooken up. We need to be moved around. We need to be reassigned. You know, it's one thing, yeah, I have some experience in the military. I know Charlie has a little bit more than I do, and there's others out there that have even more than both of us. But one of the things that the military does is every couple years, they move you around. You got to change a station. You get a new assignment. You go someplace different. And I don't know what the reasoning is behind that, but I could see that, you know, if you're trying to train a military force and keep them elite and keep them on top of their game, you got to continually change their environment, put them in new situations, get them different training so that they can experience different things and grow. Because if we don't see those things, if we don't experience these things when they come before us, we're not going to know what to do. We're not going to have received that training. We're not going to be strong enough. Now, if we are a unit, and we've spoken a lot in this ministry about how, you know, we are a unit, and Jesus is the captain of the Lord's host, and we have a chain of command, and we got, you know, a hierarchy of authority. And if we want to please Him, that is Jesus, we need to listen to that chain of command. We need to move forward. We need to get rid of ourselves. Realize that it's all about Him, and that all of these authorities that are placed above us are there for our benefit so that we can do what He would have us do. Now, this last week, well, the end of this last week, it's been a little topsy-turvy, I suppose, in my world. Because it was suggested that, you know, a rather large change in my life may be of the Lord. And I prayed about that, and I've wrestled with it. And as scary as it is, and all of these fleshy sort of drawbacks that I see, I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's true. And when you're dealing with that and confronting this change that, you know, is rather large, completely different, and just you have no idea how it's ever going to come to pass. You're overwhelmed, consumed with it, wrapped up in your own understanding of how am I going to do this? This isn't going to be the same. This is going to be different. I'm going to be sad. I can't leave here. I can't go there. What's that? Oh my. That's all you. That's all pride. That's all this nonsense. If you want to serve Him and you want to do what He has for you to do, and if you want to receive what He has for you to receive, do what He says. And do it with joy. And do it as unto the Lord. And all this other stuff, it'll fall away. He loves us. If there's something you care about or something you enjoy doing, you know what? Wherever you be, He'll find a way for you to enjoy that. He doesn't want us to be sad. It's understood that we're going to endure hardness. It's understood that, you know, we're going to have trials and tribulations in these things, but He'll keep us through. In order to hear His call and hear that, I think it was the still, soft voice. Is that what it was, Charlie? We need to be able to quiet ourselves and shut ourselves up so that we can hear what it is that He has for us. And that ain't an easy thing to do. That is not an easy thing to do. I've seen that. I mean, as early as this morning, I go from moments of just utter joy and excitement at what lies before me to sheer and complete utter terror of what's going to happen. And it's like this up and down, left and right thing. And what it is it's me fighting what He has. So I'm going to stop fighting. I'm not going to be at war with God anymore. I'm going to move forward in what He has for me. And you know what? If for some reason I've misunderstood what He has to say, then He ain't going to let me do something stupid. He'll prevent me. He'll kick me back into play, as Steve says, and straighten me out, and I'll be fine. Because I know that I can trust Him. Do you know that you can trust Him? Yeah. That's an important thing to know. So, that's about all I have for today. A little bit of a rant, I suppose, but here's Charlie.
Well, thank you, Scott and Karen. You know, one thing I know what Karen was talking about is, you know, there's an issue. What I see is when I look at myself and I see myself as this big pile of doggy doo-doo or something similar to that, you know, the thing is it's actually paralyzing to me. It's paralyzing to me because how could the Lord Jesus Christ ever use me? I mean, I'm worthless. But where we have to go back is that, see, if we look at ourselves and we dwell in that place, the Lord's never going to use us because the Lord can't use us because we're not focused on Him, we're focused on ourselves. And I understand that because, believe me, when I see it, you know, I just, Whale and Nash and stuff like that, but I know in the end I have to get my eyes back on the Lord. But it's also He who brings us back to show us that that's really who we are, to keep us on focus and track on His grace and on His mercy and walking in with Him. And so that's kind of something where we have to recognize that it's not about who we are, what about we've done, or anything like that. It's about what He can do and what He can accomplish through us, despite ourselves. And I understand doing those things that you don't want to do, Scott. And I know that right now I'm going through a transition. And Karen and I have met with a realtor, and we're going to meet with her tomorrow. She's going to snap some photos, and we're going to start that whole signing of the thingy documents, and so I know that there's going to be a transition for us. And you know, I mean, personally, West Texas is really not where I want to be. You know, it's not like Beverly Hillbillies, the place you want to be. You know, I'm more of an Arizona guy, so I mean, I know it. No, there's a big difference between the two.
I'm more of a Montana guy, so.
I could live there too. But, you know, part of that really goes back to what it talks about laying down our life. Now, Karen and I watched a movie last night again. It's called The Hiding Place, and it's about a World War II in Holland. You know, there was this Tamboom family, and the Tamboom family were Christians, and what the Tamboom family did is they actually brought in Jews, and they were kind of like an underground for them, and they housed them, and eventually someone ratted them out, and they ended up going to a work camp, and which is kind of like a mild form of a concentration camp. But in the end, what happened is this woman, she went through some trials and tribulations of relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that we've all go through those. We all go through those. And part of that we go through that is to get our eyes off of ourselves and put them back on the Lord. And so, in the end, Corrie Ten Boom, who was really the story about, she came out alone out of the work camp, and she became, I believe, a mighty minister for the Lord, because she now had a testimony, a witness of what the Lord has done for her. And that's something that we have to get to that point, is that we have to testify what the Lord has done for us, because that testimony is really what gives the weight and the credence of how the Lord can deliver you out of any situation. And I also recognize that, you know, there's a thing called the tribulation that we're about ready to see a few years from now, or whenever that is. And I know that the Holocaust is going to be like a grade school bullying compared to what is going about ready to happen. And the thing that the Lord is doing us is He's preparing us to endure that hardness as a soldier, to enduring that putting down our life. And so I'm going to go to 1 John 3:16. And what? 1 John 3:16. Yeah. I know, I think of John 3:16. Believe me, I'm going, oh, is that it? Yeah. But one thing that Jesus talked about, one thing that Jesus did, and He says, no greater love than that a man hath that he lay down his life for his friends. You know, and part of that laying down our life for our friends is really, it's a sacrifice. You know, I mean, it's a sacrifice, because we're putting our life down and sacrificing our life, whether it be in service or, in Jesus' case, in service and in death to pay the price. It's something that we have to put down, because we're the only ones who can do it. Jesus isn't going to make us and force us saying, lay down your life. He's not going to do that. You know, He's not going to make us give that sacrifice. Because one thing that Jesus has always given us, He's given us a free will. And if He forced us to sacrifice, there would be no free will. Now, I know for myself, it's one of those things that it's difficult. You know, it's been a difficult process, and all that stems back to the root of all sin, which is pride. You know, Jesus had no pride. Okay, Jesus only did what he was told, or did that which was acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. And I know part of this thing that he's getting us through, you know, we've been talking about the boiling of our faith, the trying of our faith. You know, part of that trying of our faith is also the boiling out of our lives, or ourselves from what we have done, or what, you know, who we think we are. And I know Scott said, you know, the Lord knows what we enjoy doing. You know, the Lord wants us to do the things we enjoy. I mean, long as they're acceptable to him.
Sure.
Okay, I wanted to correct that real quick there. You know, he wants to bring joy and happiness in our lives. But the only way that's going to come is if we die. If we die to ourselves. So, I want to go to 1 John 3:16. And it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now that's a hard thing. That's been a hard thing for me. Okay? It's a hard thing because, you know, I get calls and they say, hey, will you do this? You know, I'm like, I probably a little more colorful when I say this thing to myself. I got other things I want to do this weekend, you know. But I also, in the end, I know that really I'm the only one who could do what I've been asked to do, or I'm the most first choice, so to speak, to be able to do the things to do. But part of that goes back to, you know, who do I prefer? You know, we look at the Lord and we look at His kingdom. You know, there was a rebellion and there was a casting out and stuff like that. It happened because someone in that kingdom decided not to lay down his life and decided not to serve. You know, Jesus Christ is the perfect example of serving. He didn't have to come down here to die for us. But he did. You know, how can we claim to be a Christian and not do the same? You know, you see these little bands that people wear, you know, WWJD.
Yeah.
You know, what would Jesus do? I know that most of them, and I'm going to...
have a bumper sticker that looked like that.
They, like what?
He wouldn't have a bumper sticker that looked like that.
Yeah. And I know for myself, I'm also one of those people that really don't have a clue what Jesus would do because I'm about my own business. You know, we have to get to that point where we lay down our life and we're about His business. And I know that being about His business is serving the others. He served. You know, He served 24/7 for as long as He walked upon this earth, and He served to the point He died and went to hell. And He did it for us. Now, one thing about this, going back to this Corrie Ten Boom story, you know, she came through in some trials and tribulations, but what she learned in the end was that it's really about serving the Lord. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you're in the pits of hell or if you're in the kingdom. You know, we're all about serving the Lord. And now I could tell you that I know they can't accurately portray attitudes, but I could tell you that my attitude would be a whole lot worse than her attitude if I was in that situation. But in the end, it comes back to laying down our life and loving. You know, and part of this thing that they did is that in helping the Jews, that was an example of laying down our life, or her life. Now, she suffered for it, but in the end, you know, she became perfected in that. She came to know fully understand the grace and the mercy of the Lord. So going to 17, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and sheddeth up his vows of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, this goes back to her story, to this Corrie ten Boom story. You know, she saw people. She saw people who had need. I mean, let's face it. You know, if you were a Jew in World War II and Nazi Germany and these, you know, the countries that were occupied by them, you know, there was a mark on your life. But she was willing to lay down her life. Her whole family was willing to lay down their lives. And they did. Now the question what we have to do is, are we willing to do the same, first and foremost for the Lord, but also for the brethren? How about those who come through our doors when they need help? I know for myself, a lot of times I don't want to be bothered. I mean, let's face it. I'd love to sit down, plop down and watch my TV and recline on my couch. I mean, have you ever seen me like drive? I'm practically reclined. You know, that's my my natural preferred method. But there's coming to the point where the Lord is going to start bringing in droves the people to be ministered to. Are we going to be willing to lay down our life to do that sacrifice? You know, to get up in the morning and to serve all day long and serve other people. You know, it talks about the sacrifice of praise. Laying down our life is a sacrifice. And I'm not talking about laying down our flesh, okay, because our flesh is cursed, but laying down our life, giving our will over to serve the Lord is a sacrifice. Are we going to be willing to do that? Now, if you had asked me 20 years ago and said, hey, are you willing to do that? I'm like, you know, I probably would have said, well, I'm doing that. 20 years later, I realized just how far I wasn't doing that. So, I'm going to read 17 again. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? The things of this world are going to perish with this world. But the things and the gifts and the love of God is going to endure forever. I know one thing that when I heard, and I read, I believe it's in Hebrews or where it talks about, you know, having tasted the heavenly things.
Hebrews 6.
You know, part of the thing that we're learning to go through is part of learning that service and that sacrifice. You know, one of the scariest things to me that I heard, and not saying I necessarily was the brightest and latched onto as quick as I could, you know, it talks about us entering into heaven. You know, the way we die here is the way that we're going to be there in attitude. Now, what's nice about down here, I have another day, hopefully, to get it right. Okay, I have that grace and that mercy to cover me. So while I'm down here and I don't serve my brethren, or I fall short of serving my brethren, at least I potentially have another day. But if I get to heaven and I don't serve my brethren, I don't serve the Lord, okay, there's no more opportunity there. And I remember hearing people talk about, oh, you know, we're going to be sitting in heaven and we're going to be talking about, Lord, remember the thing I did for you and how I did this? And I'm thinking, I heard this from someone, I'm like, my God, where's Jesus in all this? You know, it's Jesus who draws a man. You may have been the person to bring the message, but you didn't do that. He did. And part of that goes back to getting our eyes off ourselves. No, he's the one who draws it. He's the one who starts that work. He's the one who perfects that work. But that work can only be perfected first if we have love. Jesus says, they'll know you're my disciples, your love one for another. If you don't have the first, if you don't have love, nothing's going to work. You know, you have to first have love of Jesus Christ. You know, outside of the accepting Him, you have to have love of Jesus Christ, and you have to have love of your brethren. And then at that point, it becomes easier to lay down our lives and take up our cross and follow Him. Because then we recognize He did that for us. And if we're to serve and sacrifice to Him, we must do the same. I've always seen this bumper sticker that says, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins. I mean, how does that work? I mean, I think I read somewhere, either in Proverbs or Solomon, it talks about, yeah, it's in Ecclesiastes. You know, you gather all this stuff, and when you die, it goes to people who didn't do anything for it. And, you know, what good is it? It's all vanity. But if we die with the love in us, we do have that with us because we've gained that great rich. That's what we want to bring into heaven. That's what we want to have when we die. Because that's from Jesus Christ, if it's agape love. Everything else is going to stay here. So, you know, let us love and let us learn to lay down our life and offer that sacrifice that's acceptable to the Lord. And I know that that time is coming where we will be required to fully demonstrate that and not simply speak it in word. So, well, that's about all. God bless everyone.